Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
Friends, how do you identify someone who needs encouragement? Answer, that person is breathing. Welcome to a new edition of Meals for Maturity, Bible talks on the theme of encouragement. And I hope by the end of these five Bible talks, you will be encouraged. I pray that I too will be encouraged, even though I can't really tell if you're encouraged or not. But I do know that if you're breathing, then you'll be in need of encouragement. Today for this intro Bible talk, I want to speak about the what, why and how of encouragement. And then across this series, we'll explore the Son of Encouragement, and then the Gospel of Encouragement, and then Tongues of Encouragement, and then Encouragement for the Race. How do we define encouragement? What's in a word? Well, years ago, Christian authors Larry Crabb and Dan Allender wrote a little book called Encouragement, Key to Caring, and they gave this helpful definition. The careful selection of words that are intended to influence another person meaningfully towards increased godliness. Now, of course, encouragement can happen not just through words, but through our actions as well. Another definition of encouragement simply puts it, encouragement is to put courage in, to inspire, to stimulate, to give hope to a person. Others talk about encouragement being like this hit of adrenaline that goes into your bloodstream. I like to think of encouragement simply as fuel for your tank, or if you're an EV driver, then plenty of charge to keep you going. Do you ever need your batteries recharged? Ever need your personal tank refueled? Then encouragement is the key, both the giving of it and the receiving of it. I've called this Meals for Maturity series Encouragement, Breath from Heaven. For that's what it's like to give and receive encouragement. It's like heaven is breathing down upon us, and it's a Holy Spirit-flavoured breath. That's what's behind the Greek word in the New Testament for encouragement. It's actually a close relative of the name given to the Holy Spirit, Paraclete. For the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus to come alongside us as a comforter, to bring exhortation, to keep us going in the Christian journey with our eyes fixed on the heavenly prize given to us by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Erik Weisz was an Hungarian-American who died in 1926. He died a very famous man, but I suspect you've never heard of him. But then again, maybe you have. Erik Weisz was a performer and went by the stage name of Harry Houdini, the great escape artist and magical performer. In his time, he was the most popular and richest entertainer going around. On March 17, 1904, a London newspaper issued a challenge to Harry Houdini. The London Daily Mirror had a special pair of handcuffs made, comprising of six locks on each cuff and nine extra different devices to secure the handcuffs to Harry Houdini. And then the challenge was given to him to escape from these seemingly inescapable hand restraints. So on the day, in a London theatre, before 4,000 spectators, Houdini was locked into these custom-built handcuffs, and then he was lifted into a chamber that only revealed the top part of his head and chest. And for 20 minutes, Houdini knelt down, out of sight from the audience, and when he finally stood up, he smiled, and the audience burst into applause, but Houdini was not yet free. He asked for more light, and then went down again, hidden away, to work on escaping from these clutches. 15 minutes later, he rises up again. More applause, but still no freedom. He spoke to the audience and said he just needed to flex his knees a little from the cramps. Back down again he goes, intensely sweating under the heat of the lights and under the heavy jacket he was wearing. The 4,000-strong crowd by this stage is getting a little worried. And then he came up again, but still not free from his shackles. Finally, after another good 20 minutes or so, Harry Houdini rises up and he jumps out of his cabinet and holds his hands up, no chains, totally free, and then rapturous applause. When he was later interviewed, he was asked if he was ever worried about not being able to escape. And he said that he was fairly confident. And then he was asked why he kept coming up, why he kept standing up in his chamber to the crowd, even though he wasn't yet free. And Houdini confessed that he didn't really need to keep popping up, but the reason he did so was to get the applause of the crowd and to feed off their enthusiasm and encouragement to keep going. You see, even the great Harry Houdini, who could escape from every contraption set before him, even he needed encouragement to keep going. Military troops need it when the battle draws on. Athletes feed on it as the seconds tick down. Teachers count on it. Students often fail without it. And leaders thrive on it. And as followers of the Lord Jesus, God knows we need encouragement. So why has God wired us to be people who need encouragement, and therefore people who should also give encouragement? Well, part of the answer lies in the truth that as God's people, we daily battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our sinful nature means it's so easy to gravitate to being discouraged, to give up trying to live the life of faith, and instead give in to living by sight, living for this world. It's so easy, you see, isn't it, to forget the realities of heaven and the eternal city whose builder is God, and instead to be all consumed by the material, the temporal, the city lights that promise much but deliver darkness. To be human and fallen and sinful at that means that we will all battle times of self-doubt, insecurity, negativity, despondency, and so God knows we need encouragement to go on living in holiness and in hope. And God also knows, because he's our maker, that the very nature of the Christian life is never to be a solitary experience, even though at times it's good to find silence and solitude. Even the Lord Jesus shows us that in the Gospels. But across the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's way and plan for his people is always to be together with others in some sort of fellowship. That's why across the New Testament, the metaphors or images used for the church are things like the gathering, a family, the flock, a body made up of different members, a fellowship. And one of the reasons for this design by God for us is because of the need for encouragement. The local church, you see, is one of the answers as to why we need encouragement. We're never meant or made to be alone. Simon and Garfunkel got it so wrong when they sang that famous song in the 1970s, "I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island." But we know, don't we, that that's just not true. And so the New Testament is full of examples of encouragements to encourage one another. And such encouragement actually flows out of who God is, the ultimate encourager. Listen to these descriptions of God the Comforter, God the Encourager, as Leslie reads to us.
Romans 15, verses 5 to 7. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. John 14, verses 1 to 3 and verses 25 to 27. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort.
So flowing out from the heart of God the Comforter, especially the 2 Corinthians reading, is the truth that God uses us to display encouragement and support to each other. And we hear the New Testament not just saying to us that encouragement is highly recommended, but in many places it's a command to encourage one another. Let's hear Leslie encourage us with some of these encouraging commands.
1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 14 and verse 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 2 and verses 8 to 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 13. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Across the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we find in the early church that the ministry of encouragement was a regular part of their gatherings, spurring each other on in the life of faith, hope, and love following the risen Lord Jesus. Encouragement was simply a way for the New Testament churches to reveal the grace of God to each other and to persevere on the narrow road of following Jesus. New Testament scholar Murray Harris puts it ever so clearly. He says, encouragement is one of the most important ministries in the church of the New Testament. Now, there is, in one of the gift lists across the New Testament, the gift of encouragement in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. So clearly from this reference, God does gift some of his people with the natural ability to exhort, to encourage others. But it's a little bit like hospitality across the New Testament. This also is a special gift given to some, but then again, it's also a command for all of God's people to practice hospitality. So too with the command to encourage one another. It's for all of God's people, not just those with the gift of encouragement. The thing about encouragement is you don't even have to look to the New Testament to find evidence of why it's so important. There are countless examples from the world around us. None better, I think, than from Sir Alex Ferguson. Now, before retiring in 2013, Sir Alex Ferguson spent 26 years as the manager of Manchester United. And over these 2.5 decades, he became the most successful sporting coach of all time across all sporting codes. So listen to his words here when he says, "No one likes to be criticised. Few people get better with criticism. Most respond to encouragement instead. So I tried to give encouragement when I could. For a player, for any human being, there is nothing better than hearing, 'Well done.' Those are two of the best words ever invented. You don't need to use superlatives." Now, of course, he'll go on to say that there is a place for discipline, for correction, for rebuke. But his coaching manual was built around the need to say, "Well done," and to keep encouraging. How much more for the people of God? We've seen the what, the why, and now the how of encouragement. Someone has described encouragement as the perfect gift. It's free. There's no need to outlay any cash or credit card. It requires no shopping or internet purchase. It doesn't have to be gift wrapped. The gift is already perfect. Why hide it in wasted paper? Encouragement can be custom designed. It comes in all shapes and sizes. And it doesn't require any batteries. The encouragement is the energy source itself. and encouragement can often last a lifetime. You see, the gift of encouragement you give to a child, for example, can be enough to get them through life's tough times. And you can give the gift over and over again. People will never get sick of receiving it, and you don't have to be stingy in the giving of it. The encouragement, when you think about it, really is the perfect gift. Over this series of Bible Talks, we'll explore many of the how-tos when it comes to encouragement. But to conclude this intro talk, I wanted to leave us with some practical ideas, some simple takeaways. What might it look like for you and me to be called people of encouragement? How can God better use us to recharge the batteries of someone else or refuel the tank so they go further on in the kingdom life? All these how-tos of encouragement will really only be effective when we, again, make the priority to gather together regularly as the people of God. It's in this regular fellowship and gathering that we best practice the New Testament one another's. And the ministry of encouragement doesn't have to be something grand or time-consuming or even require much preparation. It's the perfect gift, remember. Try these three simple things and ask God to use you for His glory and for your good and for the building up of others. Firstly, next time someone serves in a ministry or an aspect of church life, why not go up to them and say a simple, "Thanks for that. Well done. I really liked or appreciated the way you did or you said whatever." I mean, you can fill in the rest based on what you were encouraged by. I think this is especially true for anyone who stands up to speak or teaches from God's word or reads the Bible or prays publicly or leads others in worship up the front in church life. Mark Twain, I think, was spot on when he said, "There are two types of speakers, those that are nervous and those that are liars." Remember Sir Alex, his words, "Well done," are two of the best words ever invented. You don't need superlatives. Another how-to when it comes to encouragement? Well, secondly, focus on being a cheerleader rather than always a critic when it comes to church life, especially if your natural bent is to find fault or see things that could go wrong. Now, this is an area where I always struggle in, always wanting to see things improve and get better across the family of God. But sometimes critiquing things can wear people down. Now, of course, there is a place for brainstorming, for improving ministries, for giving your best to God's kingdom, always wanting to see God's glory shine even brighter. But the need to cheer others on is vital when it comes to the gathering of God's household. Aussie Brothers, now turned American, from the Christian band For King and Country, sing a song called "Cheering You On." Have a listen sometimes. The words go, "I'll be cheering you on when no one else will. I'll be cheering you on as you run your race. And when you're questioning the why of it, rise up in the light of it. I'll be by your side in it all. I'm cheering you on." The story is told about a Bible scholar, Howard Hendricks, who went to glory back in 2013. Howard Hendricks grew up in a very troubled family and environment in Philadelphia. He came from a non-Christian home, and his troubled background meant that he had a reputation by the time he arrived at school. But when he was in sixth grade, he remembered vividly that one of his teachers said to him. She said, "Howard Hendricks, I've heard lots about you, but I don't believe a word of it." And from that moment on, from that cheering on, encouraging moment from his sixth grade teacher, Howard Hendricks began to turn his life around. And he was to go on to say, "You know what, I would have walked through a wall for that teacher." Who will you focus on cheering on across your church family? A third idea for how to when it comes to encouragement? Well, go on living the Christian life faithfully, consistently, prayerfully, for in doing so, you will naturally encourage others as they see you in action. Not that this means your life will be perfect or sinless. We all know that's not going to happen unless your name happens to be Christ Jesus and your address is Nazareth. But if you're more than just a hearer of God's word but seeking to be a doer, if you model the life of generosity and sacrifice and service displaying the fruit of the Spirit, if you treasure the things of God's word more than the fading, empty treasures of this world, then you will bring much joy and encouragement to others around you, even sometimes without realizing you're doing so. Someone has said this about church life: encouragement is like oxygen in the life of the church. It keeps hearts beating, minds clear, and hands inspired to serve. How do you identify someone who needs encouragement? That person is breathing. May God use us greatly across this series of Bible Talks to grow in the ministry of encouragement. Keep breathing, keep encouraging for the glory of God.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.